Good morning, everyone. We are glad that you're here with us today. We are excited to have you be a part of this worship service with us. Even though it's online, we're excited that you are still here to be with us and watching together. There's a lot of changes we're trying to make things better. But the great thing is, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing right now, sit back with a cup of coffee and worship with us this morning as we get ready to worship the Lord together and be encouraged from His Word today. A couple quick reminders. Just be in prayer for those people who are cooped up in their homes and stuck in place. Just pray for them that they have all that they need, and maybe give them a call to check and see if they have. You're part of the helping hands to be able to get them through the times that they're facing. So let's go before the Lord in prayer, and we'll begin worship together here. Father God, we thank you so much for this great day that you've given to us to gather and worship and praise. And even though it's unlike anything we've done before, we are just excited about the fact that every time or two or three are gathered together in your name, you are there amongst them, and you are there to receive their worship and praise. And we come before you today to deliver that to you, but also to be united together as brothers and sisters in Christ. So, Lord, we love you this morning, and we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given to us. And may you receive all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise to you. speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing.
All right, good morning again. We are excited to be here and to worship together. And the great thing about it is we're glad that you're with us this morning. But there's some people we need to pray for this morning. We've got Esther Martin, she's in the hospital. Frances Williamson, she fell, broke her leg. They're working on trying to get her patched back up. We have a bunch of people in the nursing home. And my last report is that Larry McWorthy is doing well. He's got his new pacemaker in, and he feels like he's 10 years younger, which is good because he's starting to look pretty old. So that'll be good for him. But continue to pray for them because they've been through a lot in the past few weeks. But just continue to lift them up in your prayers. Also, those who are struggling through with being stuck home, give them a call, say hello, and just see if there's anything that they need and how you can pray for them. So let's pray, and we're going to get started this morning with heading into the Word. Father God, I thank you so much that every day of our lives is a brand new day in which we get to live for you. That if we do what you say and we confess our sins and we take care of everything before we go to bed at night, the beautiful thing is each new day is just that, a new day in which we can live for you without any struggle, without any past. We have a clean slate, and we just ask that this would be one of those great days. So, Lord, forgive us for our sins, for they are many, and allow us to live our lives in such a way as you always have the right of way. And, Lord, we thank you for the fact that we can call you Father, and that we can come to you no matter what we've done and say, I'm sorry. And, Lord, I just thank you that we have brothers and sisters to call family, and some of those right now are in nursing homes, and they've got broken legs and fragile hearts. And we just ask that you would bless them right now and heal them up and make them well. And Lord, I just pray that you would watch over each and every one of us. Keep us healthy and bring us home when you say it's time. Until then, help us to keep focused on living for you each day, to bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' wonderful name, we get to pray. And all God's people said, amen. I was sitting in the office this week, and I read a devotional from a really, really, really old daily devotional book. It was printed sometime in the 50s. And I like those old books because I keep thinking that the closer you get back to the source, the better things will be, because they're a little more solid than we've turned them into. And I was looking, and there was this word that popped up in this devotional, and it caused me to come to this moment where I made this, pulled the sermon together, and I entitled it, Learning Lessons About God While Learning to Drive. So how many of you remember way, way back when you started to learn how to drive? That exciting time when you were young and you were just getting ready to get behind the wheel, and some of you were really young. I've heard of people driving tractors when they were 7 years old, 6 years old, and riding around. Maybe you were driving the old farm truck long before you should have been on the road. Some started with pedal cars and moved up to lawnmowers, and some moved into cars and trucks, but we all go through this growing phase of learning how to drive. But however you learned, it was sure exciting. I remember the guy who tried to teach me how to drive a stick shift for the very first time, and I could not figure it out to save my life. I was 13. It was a Ford. Maybe that was the problem. I don't know. But it had a granny gear, and I couldn't get the thing to go. Even with a granny gear, I couldn't make it happen. I'm glad that's changed. But the interesting thing is that over time, we get the hang of it. You know, I remember when I was learning to drive, I had to go to driver's training school. And I remember that while I was taking driver's training, I studied really hard to make sure that I could pass that test. And the reason was, if you did a good job and you passed the test, you didn't have to do the drive with the DMV people when you went to get your license. And I did really well. I did really well in the class, and I skated through there. But while I was studying, I had to learn all of these new rules I'd never seen before. I saw different things about laws and rules and signs, and I looked at them, and I willingly accepted the fact that in order to drive a car on the road and to get my license, I had to be willing to give up some things and abide by those rules. I didn't have the freedom to drive like the Dukes of Hazzard, no matter how cool that looked. I couldn't go on high-speed races through town, and I couldn't do those things. There were federal laws that I needed to abide by. There were state laws that I needed to adhere to. There were local laws that I had to watch out for and pay attention to, because what is good in Mount Carroll is not the same as over in another town 10 miles away. And the signs are in different places, and you have to look at those individually. You see, each one of those places, state, federal, and local, set up their own zones and their own speeds and their own limits. They put up their warning signs, and they put up flashing lights, and they paint stuff on the road you need to pay attention to. But I had no choice in the matter. I knew I needed to obey each and every one of those. It was obey them or get a ticket. And since I was working on a farm making $1.15 an hour, I couldn't afford to pay the ticket. So when I started out, I was a really good driver because I memorized everything, even all those funny different shaped signs. You had an octagon, and that was a stop sign. You had a triangle, and they could be various different directions and shapes, but they all had their own meaning, and their own colors meant different things, because there were green ones and blue ones and yellow ones and orange ones and red ones, and they were just all different, but you knew you had to pay attention. But as I looked through those different things and those different signs, there was one sign that was unique, and it was called the yield sign. The yield sign is a sign that is kind of different. It doesn't tell you to stop. It tells you you might need to stop. It doesn't tell you you can go. It says you might be able to go. It's kind of like being married. You don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. You just know you better pay attention because something's going to change quickly. But I looked up what it meant for the yield sign, what a definition was. It said, yield means to let other road users go first. A yield sign assigns the right of way to traffic in certain intersections. If you see a yield sign ahead, be prepared to stop to let other drivers crossing your road take the right of way. And don't forget about bicycles and pedestrians. They have the right of way all the time, yield sign or not. And I was looking at that thinking, that's so crazy. This one little sign means so much in order for us to drive safely on the road. That means that there are certain times when we must surrender our rights to let someone else exercise theirs. There's this little spot that has a yield sign kind of on it. When you come off of Route 49 in Indiana onto the 80-90 road there, and you come off and you merge onto 80, and they think that even though the speed limit is 55, they think because they're on 80, they can do 80. And when you come off that 25-mile-an-hour ramp into that lane, it's one of those clover leaves. So you come off, and you're coming in, and you're trying to merge in at 25 miles an hour into 80-mile-an-hour traffic, and people doing 80 miles an hour are trying to get off at the next one, and you got to kind of cross, and you got to hope and pray that God keeps you safe as you go through there. But in the chaos of the on-ramp, off-ramp, 25, 80-mile-an-hour exchange, someone always has to yield. And sometimes you might not even need to stop. And that's one of the toughest things. You both have equal access to the road, but someone has decided that in this particular moment, the other person has the right-of-way and you don't. Someone decided that in this particular spot and junction or this roundabout, you don't get to go first. Everybody else does. We must let someone else go first, even if it means we have to come to a complete stop. You know, Paul speaks about that in the Christian life in Romans chapter 6, verse 13. In the King James Version, it says this, and it sounds like you're reading the manual for learning, going for driver's training. It's this. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That seems so easy and clear, right? To be sitting there and saying, okay, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourself to God as those who have been raised from the dead to life, and your members as instruments of righteousness. It sounds simple, but sometimes it's not. In other words, what we're supposed to do is we're to let God have His way in our lives, because God's ways must always be allowed to go first. We're always going to be drawn to go headlong in sin, into sin. We're always going to want to go with the flow of traffic towards the ditch, if it were. But God has placed yield signs in the believer's life at every juncture where we find ourselves encountering sin. How do I know? Well, He told us so in His Word. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, He says this, "No temptation has seized you except for what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you're tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." You see, every time the temptation to sin comes into your life, there's going to be a yield sign someplace for you to pay attention to. It's the one that points you in the direction to stop or to turn off or go in another direction. It is the one that is going to help you not yield to sin, but control your life in such a way that you yield your life to God. To actually let sin go on its own way, and you follow Him instead. And you know, sometimes that means we need to be prepared to stop in order to avoid a head-on collision with sin. And by doing so, we give God the right of way in our lives, which is His desire to make us holy, to make us sanctified and set apart for Him. But if we're yielding to sin and giving our lives to sin, then we're not yielding our lives to God. And our responsibility as we drive our lives is to yield ourselves to Him. Listen, God's not removed sin from your path. He never promised He would. Matter of fact, He just told you you would have the power to choose something different for once. But He did say He'd give you the warning signs to avoid sin. You know, I remember when I moved here, I had to drive the kids over to the school in Shannon, and I had to take Shannon Route Blacktop there and back each day. And it was 5 miles from my house to there and back. And at one point in time, they re-blacked the road. They also did something weird on the return trip that I didn't experience that first time down that beautiful, wide-open blacktop. It was smooth. It was straight. It was beautiful. At that time, it didn't have lines. But I knew where I needed to drive anyways. And I drove the kids to school, and I turned around, and I'm on my way back, and I'm cruising up to the stop sign there to get on 52. And I got like a quarter mile away, and all of a sudden, my vehicle goes, brrr, brrr, brrr. And I was like, what on earth is that? I thought the drive shaft was falling out. I thought I ran over something or somebody. And all of a sudden, I'm looking in the rearview mirror, and I look in the back, and I see these little ripples in the road. They had installed rumble strips to let me know that just ahead, there was something I needed to pay attention to and wake up to, that there was a stop sign just ahead. And you see, that's a good thing, because sometimes I've been known to fall asleep while I drive, and it's good for having something like that to wake me up. Sometimes I get over to the side right a little far, and the rumble strips wake me up. You know, what's interesting, though, is after a while, those rumble strips became less and less noticeable. Matter of fact, I drove through there today, and I saw that the center where the tires are worn out, and they're not so loud and not so firm, and I've become lost and numb to the rumble strip warnings that there's a stop ahead. But one night while coming home from Freeport, I was coming up to that same stop sign, and I looked ahead and I saw this flashing red light going, and I thought, that's crazy. There's this red light. Maybe someone's gotten pulled over. Maybe there's a wreck up there ahead, and maybe that's an emergency vehicle taking care of somebody. So I sat up in my seat, and just in case, I put my seatbelt on real quick, because, you know, there could be a cop checking seatbelts at the corner. And when I pulled up the stop sign there to yield to the cross traffic or the guy turning left in front of me, I realized that they had just installed a red flashing light on top of the stop sign just to warn me that there's a stop sign there. And I thought, you know, that's pretty cool. Someone cared enough about me that they repaved the road, that they put in rumble strips, that they installed a light trying to get my attention to say that this is a dangerous spot to steer clear from. Come to a stop, turn on your turn signal, make your turn, and go home safely. And that's what I did. I got home safe. But you know, here's the thing, folks. And it might seem harsh to say, don't be stupid. You see, if you're really a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, God has given you the Holy Spirit to be that rumble strip and flashing light every time you encounter sin. You must choose whether or not you're going to yield to God or to the sin that's come your way. You will make hundreds of choices every day who you will yield to and who you will give the right of way to in your life. While driving rules are set by whatever power controls the road that you're traveling on, as a Christian, it is God who sets the rules for daily living for us, and He does it through His Word. Here's that same verse I read earlier in the King James versions and two other translations, and I like how they kind of both put it. And the NASB version says this, Romans 6, 12 through 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body as sin to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be master over you. You are not under the law, but under grace. In the Living Translation, it says this: do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law, but instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. You know, for the first time in our lives, when we come to know Jesus Christ, we have a choice on what we're going to do. Whether we're going to be giving in to sin or we're going to give in to Jesus. And the choice is totally ours. And it's a responsibility that he puts on us. And we have the power to carry it through, to choose to live for him. So why is it I bring this all up? Why is it so important to yield to God and not go with the flow of sin like everybody else? Well, here's why. Sin is no longer our master. Someone else is. How do I know? Well, I read the rule book. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Honor God with your life. Unfortunately, so many of us have chosen Jesus as a get-out-of-hell-free card. And he works as that. But he's raised us to new life with him and given us the power that we can live for him, and we don't have to live like we did. We can live for Jesus every day, and we should. Because God paid a huge price for us to be freed from our sin and our deserving death in hell. He has allowed us to grow up and grow into our faith each and every day. And if we spend time in his word, we'll learn how we are supposed to drive these new lives we've been given. And we all desire the freedom of the open road, like when we looked forward to getting our driver's license. But the reality is, God puts up guardrails and signs and stop signs and rumble strips and flashing lights for our safety so that we can be holy and blameless and pure before him. So therefore, we must be responsible and take responsibility for our lives and choose to live for him, because there's lots of tests we will take throughout our years following him. You know, sometimes people think that the Bible and God have all these rules. Yeah. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. He has placed an incredible responsibility and even obligation on us, because he is the one who has purchased us back from the dead and given us new life. And therefore, he has the right to say how we should live. And we've been entrusted with a great salvation that we get to explore and live out each day for him. And there are obligations that come with it. Sin will inevitably cross our path, and when it does, we must stop and let it roll on past. We must make our choice to yield everything to God in that moment and hundred more moments like it every day. And we need to stop and look and listen for God's way out. And remember, no temptation has seized you except for what is common to man. And God is faithful and won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. You can stand with him every time against sin. But we must avoid the danger of falling complacent or accustomed to the rumble strips and the flashing lights and the signs that God places in our way. The responsibility falls on each and every one of us in our own lives, because we are supposed to present ourselves to God as living sacrifices, yielding to his rules for holy living. And he's not hidden them from us, but he shows them to us plainly. But let me encourage you with this. When we fail, as we all are prone to do, he's a benevolent lawgiver and judge. 1 John 1:9 reminds us, if we confess our sins, when we fail, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, I want to encourage you with this. God forgives when we confess and we repent of our sins. Not just some of the time, all the time. When we confess, we admit that we have done wrong according to God and his word. We've sinned. When we repent of our sins, we turn away from our sin and we turn back to God, desiring to live a life of holiness for him. And we venture forward trying to do our best. But sometimes, what happens to you doesn't happen to me, and what happens to me doesn't happen to you. I know two people that within a month of each other, they both got pulled over by a local police officer for doing the same exact thing. They were exceeding the posted speed limit on the same road. One got off with a warning because she happened to share the same birth date as the cop. And not only that, the very next day was her birthday. So the cop said, "Slow down, have a good birthday," and walked away. She was happy. The other person in the story didn't get off so lucky. As a matter of fact, their name got in the paper. The fine was paid. It was there for all the world to see. Does it seem fair? Well, the police officer is the enforcer of the rule. He didn't write the rule. But it was up to his discretion on whether he would give a warning or a ticket. That's his choice. Now, please remember this. As the rule setter and the enforcer of the rules, God has the ability and the authority to deal differently in every case with each and every one of us. There are people who slept around a lot before they got married, got saved and got married, right? And some of them got pregnant and some of them got STDs and some did not. Some got away scot-free and some people got busted and burdened, right? Does that seem fair? It doesn't. Some got lucky, some did not. But here's one thing that you can always understand and trust from God. Number one, he will forgive all the time. Number two, he will set you back on the right path if you truly repent and turn from your sin and turn to him. Number three, he may allow you to learn the hard way. We've all done it. Number four, he may let you off with a warning. And that's a good day. But please remember that choice is his and his alone to make. He knows what is best to mold you for your next opportunity to yield to holiness and to turn away from sin. But in every situation, you can trust him. So please hear this. If you desire to yield in every area of your life, to turn to him and to consecrate yourself and live a holy and pleasing life before God, he will always be fair and loving with you and help you, and he will move heaven and earth to do so. But you have to be willing to yield to God and give him the right of way in your life. And if you do, you'll never be disappointed.
Here I find my rest with us. sin runs deep. Your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
So let's pray. Father God, there is none of us who are perfect drivers. We may have gotten away with things, we may have not gotten caught, but none of us are perfect drivers. And none of us are perfect Christians. But Lord, one thing that we can all do is we can yield our life to you in such a way that every decision we make brings glory and honor to you. If that's our goal, you will move heaven and earth to make it happen in us. Forgive us when we fail and fall short. And help us to be the holy, pleasing people you desire us to be. Grant us a willing heart to do so, Jesus. And it's in your wonderful name we get to pray. Amen. Hey, folks, we want to thank you for being a part of this service this morning. As you know, life is continuing to march on, and the church is still trying to be the church and do the things that the church has done in the past with helping people in need and also, pay the bills and things like that. So if you can, if God lays it on your heart to do so, to send in a tithe, please remember you can do so at P.O. Box 72, Mount Carroll, Illinois. If not, if you have David Keller's address, you can send it to him too, so that'll work out as well. Have a great week. Thank you for being a part of this church, and we'll see you soon.